Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and love. And that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated.
A reading from Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Let us pray Psalm 71 responsively. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and set me free. Incline your ear. Be my rock, a castle to keep me safe. You are my crag and my stronghold. Deliver me, O God, from the hand of the wicked and the clutches. For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence since I was young. I have been sustained by you ever since I was born, from my mother's way to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning. Is a reading from Corinthians. If I speak in the tongue of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, Is not this Joseph's son? He said to them, Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, Doctor, cure yourself. And you will say, Do here also in your hometown the things that we heard you did at Capernaum. And he said, Truly I tell you, No prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to the widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I'm standing too close to the cliffs when I'm standing right there. That passage always rings to me in a different way when you're standing right on the cliffs. Today, all of the lessons affirm the reality and illustrate the remarkable results of being known, claimed, and called by God. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. The Lord says to Jeremiah. And St. Paul's teaching to the Corinthians about love is grounded in the affirmation that he states at the end of the passage that we just heard. I have been fully known. And the psalm today sounds a lot like Jeremiah. I have been sustained by you ever since I was born. From my mother's womb, you have been my strength. The fulfillment of the scriptures that Jesus announces at the beginning of the gospel passage involves that claim that God has on his life. This gospel is a continuation of the gospel that we heard last Sunday, when Jesus picks up that scroll from the prophet Isaiah and reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed." To be fully known, claimed, and called by God means to be equipped to accomplish abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. It means to be empowered to proclaim God's word, embody God's will, and to continue the work of Jesus Christ in our world today. Jeremiah is called by God to be a prophet to the nations, and he starts right out with objections. Not me. Certainly, there has to be someone else in the world who could do this work for you, God. I'm not the right age. And besides, I don't really like speaking in front of people. I'm not good at that sort of thing at all. But God is good on his promise, and he provides Jeremiah with all that he needs to be the prophet that God has called him to be. Jeremiah was known, claimed, and called by God. He was empowered to proclaim God's word. We too are known, claimed, and called by God. We are invited to respond to that call. Maybe it's an invitation to teach Sunday school or to be the second adult at a youth event. Maybe that's the invitation that reaches our ears. Or we're asked to make a financial contribution, or to pray for someone, or to pray with someone. How do we meet those invitations? Jeremiah had his list of excuses, and so do we. I'm too old. I'm too young. I work all week. This is my only morning to get things done. I don't know the Bible well enough to be in a Bible study. Young people scare me. I'm a private person. I don't like to mix my spiritual life with my social life. I have to take care of myself first. If I have anything left over, that list of excuses goes on and on. But look at that, the words of the psalmist. The author of this beautiful song must have been feeling quite low. He talks about being in the clutches of evil, being in the grip of the oppressor. And yet, he clings to the Lord. He puts all of his hope in that strong rock that is God. Even from the depths of his despair, he reaches out for God. He reaches out to that castle, that place of fortress, that place of security and hope. My father lived most of his life in the clutch of alcoholism. And all of the AA material says that the alcoholic must hit the bottom before getting up. But my dad, and so many others who are caught in this disease, hit the bottom many times. And with each fall, health and wholeness seem even less attainable. The clutch of evil holds them bound. My dad did have 9 years, almost 9 years of sobriety before his death. So there's good news in that story too. The clutch of evil is so strong in our world, holding on to us, addictions to alcohol or violence or greed, physical and mental illness, racism, and all those other isms that contaminate our world. Some of those evil clutches that hold us are more visible than others, but the reality is that our world is caught in the clutch of evil. But there's another reality that's even stronger than that, and that is that our strong rock is God. Even when we feel that we are in that clutch of evil, we're reminded that we are in God's grasp, that God is holding us fast. The psalmist says, God is our strong rock, a castle to keep us safe. God is our stronghold. And we can believe that that promise is true. God's gracious claim and hold will even allow the Corinthians, those unruly residents of the port city, to love one another in a seemingly impossible manner. Paul lines out the rules of love that the Corinthians are to have for one another, and that we too, centuries later, in another port city, are supposed to live out as well. These are the rules that we are called to live by. No impatience or unkindness, no envy or bragging, no arrogance or rudeness, no stubbornness or irritability, no resentments or grudges, no dishonesty or lies. How many think that that kind of love in your heart is impossible? I'm putting my hand up. I think that it is impossible to. So are you all thinking that that's who you are? Do you love like that? I think you do, but it's pretty amazing. That kind of love seems impossible. To have none of that in our lives, that seems impossible if we try to do it on our own. But we, the children of God, who are known and claimed and called, we know that we don't do it alone. It's only possible if we let God work through us. And everything is possible with God. In our baptism, we are claimed and claimed by God. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are marked with the cross of Christ forever. We belong to God. From our mother's womb, our primary identity is as children of God. In the kind of world that we live in, this claim is not greeted with acceptance. In fact, it's often met with opposition, as it was for Jeremiah and the psalmist and St. Paul and Jesus. When Jesus went to his hometown, this message was met with great resistance. The people of Nazareth were thrilled to hear Jesus. He was like the hometown hero. And they expected to see some of the marvelous works that they had heard about that he was doing in other towns. But when Jesus started teaching them that God's grace was given to the outsiders, their feelings turned to rage. When he talked about God loving Gentiles and pagans, he raised the rankles of those good Jews of Nazareth. They didn't like hearing that God doesn't act the way that they wanted God to act. Does God really love the outsiders, the unbelievers, the evildoers in our world? It was yes that Jesus answered to that question, and that yes caused quite an uproar. Did you hear about the uproar on the JetBlue flight this last week? The plane making a direct flight from New York to San Diego had to be diverted to Denver to let the law enforcement remove an unruly passenger. This woman had to be taken off the flight because she was so disruptive that she was putting the flight in danger. This is what caused her bad behavior. She had paid extra to sit in that one row that has the extra leg room. And then she found out that another passenger, who was also in that row, had been moved to that row without paying for it. She went crazy. She didn't lose anything. Nothing had been taken from her. She still had all the leg room that she'd paid for, but she couldn't handle the fact that this person that she considered unworthy was getting that extra leg room too. She was so upset that they had to divert the plane, go to Denver, have law enforcement take her off the plane, and what made her angry was somebody was getting something for free that she had to pay for. We don't like to see the unworthy receive what we've paid for, or what we've worked for, or what we believe we're entitled to. But here's the thing. How can we know a gracious God if we don't believe that that grace is given to the sinners outside of our church doors, outside of our faith, outside of our boundaries of acceptability? You've heard me say it before, it's a very risky business to draw boundary lines for God. He always steps right over that boundary line and loves those that we have put outside that line. And thanks be to God for that, that we are known and claimed and called by a God who loves us with that most amazing love. And that we are equipped and empowered in that love to live according to God's purposes for us and for the world. Faith, hope, and love abide. And the greatest of these is love.